Hello, and welcome to Series 2, our teaser trailer for the Nurse Researcher podcast. And this will be our clinical academic series, and I'm delighted to be joined by Eleanor Hofford again. So, Eleanor, good to have you back.
Hi, Andrew. Yeah, it's great to be back. Really looking forward to this new series to see what it brings.
It is.
Yeah.
And thank you for the first series. I do have to thank you for that. It wouldn't have been the same without your engagement, and I had lots of compliments about that little end section that we do, that summary. So all credit to you that's a good part of the episode. And I'm going to thank Pete Lonsdale, our editor as well, who will be listening into this episode, no doubt. But we're a team of three. And I'll say again for series two, we're not professionals. We don't do this for a living. We do it in our own time, and if people knock on the door, if the dog barks, if Amazon decide to do a delivery, then so be it. We run with it. We don't tend to stop and edit these sorts of things. And I think the listener recognises that it's the same for the guest when we do this. Often people are having to do this in busy working environments, and we don't do this in a studio. So, and it's probably a little bit more natural if we do it that way, don't you think?
So it's a bit more original, isn't it? A bit more realistic. A bit more authentic, isn't it, like that?
Yeah, I think so. And clinical academic series, I think we said in the first series that we were trying to demystify the roles of the nursing professor. And I was always a little bit concerned that a lot of people felt that sort of professors of nursing were sort of middle-aged, middle-class women that were dropped into the role. And it's not that way. It's a sense that if that's who you are at the point of professor, you started like everybody else, you know, and you built your way up. And we've had some wonderful stories, haven't we, of the things that people have done and their first roles, the things that really got them into the research role and how they did their PhDs and how they become professors. So I think we did demystify that a little bit. And I think this series is about doing the same with the clinical academic. It's a role, or it's a title we hear a lot about now, but I don't think we've got a strict definition. I mean, what do you think a clinical academic is? What's your thoughts on the role?
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, and the funny thing is, it's not really simple, is it? But I suppose it's about combining your clinical expertise with academic research. But I do feel that being a clinical academic is very bespoke. There are some situations, I think, like we heard in the first series, that might resonate with individuals, but I do think that everyone is carving their own individual paths. And it very much depends on where, you know, what your research area is in, what your clinical background is, and where you place yourself, I think, in terms of creating impact. So I do think it's quite a bespoke situation. And I guess I would consider a clinical academic to be somebody that's doing their PhD or working towards that and beyond. How about you?
Yeah, I think the same. I mean, it's a label that if you've got that, I suppose you're going to recognise that there are expectations from a research perspective. So, yeah, I mean, through different meetings and different bodies, I've heard the same, that you're either working towards or you have a PhD. And there's that research component of your job. So I think it will be important for people like ANPs to hear about the clinical academic role, because I know ANPs struggle to put that research pillar into their role. So I'm hoping we can help different people in different disciplines. I think in this series, it'd be great to have midwifery. It would be great to have mental health, learning disabilities, clinical academics, if we can get them, pediatric clinical academics. It would be good to have that, not just adult nurses. And that's dependent on the next networks that we have and the people that we can get involved. But it feels like there's no one role fits all for this. And we need to know whether people are wearing two hats in the same week, and whether these are two roles with a clear line of demarcation between them, or the roles do inform and help one another, and people feel that it's actually one bigger hat that you wear, and the clinical academic, you know, feeds into one another. We might find that it's, you know, I do 2 days at university and 3 days on a ward, but I'd like to think it's more that my 2 days at the university support my role in the ward, and my role in the ward feeds back to the university. That's what I'd like to hear, and that there's almost a similar expectation, and maybe a, I don't know, a dual appraisal, that it isn't two separate roles. That's what you'd be hoping, would you?
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that, that actually, the folk, the, I guess it's thinking about what the purpose of the role is. And obviously the purpose is that, we are a really important part of the workforce if you are a clinical academic or a nurse researcher, because, patients and the service users expect to receive, the highest quality of care that's informed by evidence. But in terms of, what a clinical academic does and is, some people might be doing it, but they might not actually label themselves as a clinical academic. But probably where it does become important is in the support that you receive as a clinical academic and how you shape your future career and how organizations might help to do that so that, more individuals can develop their career in that way, if that makes sense.
And again, like the last series, I'll start off with a number of questions which have been, for want of a very buzz topic, that they have been co-designed or co-produced. I've met with some of my research groups and said, what should we ask clinical academics? But if we need to go off script a little bit, we'll go down the route of the rabbit hole that they open up a little bit to find out a little bit more about them. But I'd like to know who's mentoring them. I'd like to know who's measuring the success of their role.
Yeah.
Now, if the last series with the professor, the success comes from when they start to tell you about the grants they've had, the number of PhD students that they've got, the impact that their work has had. Who's measuring the success of the clinical academic? Has that done at your appraisal? Have you got set targets? What are the hopes and expectations of the employer with a clinical academic? That kind of thing interests me.
Yeah, it will be interesting, won't it? I think to hear from a different group and maybe the next generation of those behind the professor series and the challenges that they're facing because they may be quite different. We've spoken to people that have been highly successful, albeit they've also faced their own, failures and challenges as well. But this is quite a crucial phase, I think, for many individuals, isn't it? That PhD postdoctoral phase. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and probably one of the most important reasons why we're doing this series is to share those stories, isn't it, of nurses and midwives who've trodden or treading, that path, and how they are combining their clinical practice and what that clinical practice might look like, because I think that that looks quite different, maybe for everybody's journey. Is it more focused on leadership? What counts as that clinical practice element? And maybe it's more about the impact that you're creating. I don't know, but it'd be interesting to find that out. And let's face it, there really aren't very many clinical academic nurses out there, so we do need lots more role models to inspire us, don't we? And now more than ever, I think, in the NHS, so these individuals can really show people, I think, what's possible, and remind other nurses and midwives out there what their worth is and their value is, and what they have to contribute to. So it's going to be really exciting, I think.
And I don't know how it's interesting when you say that about who's doing it, how many we've got. I don't we've probably not got a measure of that, have we? The NMC won't have you on their register as a clinical academic. We probably don't know how many nurse clinical academics we have in the UK at the minute. We probably don't know how many are enough. We probably don't know. We probably haven't set a number to it. Have we? Do we want one in 100? Do we want one in 1,000? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. But there's a sense of if they're able to start to demonstrate their effectiveness, then there'll be more people aiming for that role and more jobs out there with that as the sort of descriptor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, people just aren't necessarily aware of their career options, are they, in research? And I think this podcast is a place where nurses and midwives can hear quite candidly, can't they, about people's successes and the failures and challenges, and know that it is part of developing a clinical academic or maybe even an academic journey. But also, with the implementation of the CNO strategic plan for research and the huge investment from the NIHR that they're putting into building research capacity and capability to increase these opportunities, I think, we've got that open dialogue going, haven't we, that's created a real energy and enthusiasm amongst nurses and AHPs. Because traditionally our medical and our dental colleagues have a long established tradition, don't they, of nurturing and sustaining the clinical academic workforce. And that is the bit that's the challenge, I think, isn't it, within nursing and, our allied health professionals, and how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it is really difficult. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what this series or generation brings.
It is. It is.
What brings.
I'm quite excited about this. I think, with the professors, I was delighted at the feedback that we had. People were saying it put me at ease that actually this is achievable. Other people were saying I love the career stories. And I think to some point that the sort of imperfections on themselves that the professors were talking about made people realize that they're just like every other nurse. They started where you started, and that's the path they've taken. And we almost, I mean, if you sort of analyzed, I think some of the interviews of the last, talking like a researcher now, aren't I? But if you analyze some of the interviews of that first series, there is a lot of themes. A
Yeah.
lack of confidence, a sense of having to overcome certain barriers and obstacles to get where they got to, a sense of, that sort of I was in the right place at the right time,
Yeah,
serendipity.
yeah,
People
yeah.
said a lot of the same. It'll be interesting if we've got similarities in the clinical academic pressures, requirements, expectations. It'll be interesting if we've got similarities in those too.
I think so. Really looking forward to hearing, who the first interview is going to be, and the subsequent ones, after that, really.
Yeah, we won't give the game away. Let's not give the game away. We'll keep it to
Love, build
ourselves
the
for now.
excitement.
Build the excitement. And it's nice because a few people have sort of I've spoken to at conferences or certainly in corridors, people have said, "Oh, I listen to your podcast and look forward to it, and I listen to it on the dog walk, or it's always my drive to work on a Tuesday morning," or whatever it would be. So it's nice that the people that do listen to it tend to listen to all of the episodes rather than dip in and dip out, which I think suggests that we're doing the right thing for a niche audience. I would say so.
Absolutely. I
And I
think it's
hope.
important to get that feedback, isn't it?
Yeah. And
As well.
what I would say to the listener is before we start the next series, tell people about us. Press follow wherever or wherever you listen to your podcast. Do leave us a comment if you've got any feedback. And just do spread the word a little bit. We don't advertise. We're not achieving anything through getting more listeners, but it's nice to know that we're getting a much wider reach. And I think we feel like we've got the significance that the people understand why we're doing this, but to get the reach of more people would be great. So do share it with people that you think would enjoy listening to it, and do keep listening to the new series.
For sure.
For sure, indeed. So until we meet Eleanor to summarize our first episode, we'll sign off there. And thanks again for joining us for this new series. And we'll go out on like we did every other week, like we did before, and really looking forward to it. So, speak to you
Me
soon.
too. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Helena. Take care.